This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So since we last saw you, you've been a busy camper.
I think so. When did you last see me?
I think for starter for 10.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I think I have. I think I'd finished this film before Starter for 10 came out, weirdly. And I hadn't done anything. I haven't done anything since this film. And wanted. So, in a weird way, I have been a busy camper in terms of the public eye, but I've not actually been doing much.
Are you ready for another award season?
I don't know if anybody's ever ready for another award season. It's kind of like Christmas. It seems to get earlier and earlier every year, and, you know, I'm ready for whatever happens, do you know what I mean? If it gets lots of nominations, fantastic. If it doesn't get any, then I hope that we wouldn't be any less proud of the experience we've had, because I know we're all very proud of this film. So, yeah, I don't know, really.
I was going to ask you, that they announced yesterday that they've moved Wanted from late March to the end of June.
That.
It's now all of a sudden positioned as one of Universal's big summer releases.
Yeah, I know.
So did this come as a surprise to you, and are you ready to be a big summer movie star here in the States?
Bloody hell. is that what that means? I don't know, really. I didn't know the significance of moving it. You know, people say, June, we're going to June. We're really excited, we're going June. And you're like, great. That's great for you. I'm so chuffed. And then people explain the significance of it. So, fantastic. If they're confident in it, brilliant. I haven't seen the film, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, couldn't it almost be expected, though, when you do a film with Angelina, that they would, you know, do something with it special?
Not if it was terrible, you know. So, it's nice. I mean, I think the March kind of release date, though, some people are telling me, is that that's the new kind of... That's a new hot time to release a movie. And I don't... No, really, because it seems like every time's a hot time to release a movie now, you know? It's like real estate, you know? Oh, it's the up-and-coming area. Everywhere's up-and-coming. I don't think there is a bad time to release a movie anymore, you know? So if they're moving up to a more kind of, you know, high-class date or a more aggressive time, then great. It just means they're confident. But no, I think a big studio like that with hundreds of millions of dollars, they'd gladly chuck it on a shelf if it was shit.
December's not bad either.
No, I know. I'm having the conversation of a distributor. James McAvoy presents.
Why don't we ask, what were the challenges of this particular character?
His angelic kind of character was something that I didn't identify with because I'm not an angel. I kind of found him difficult to recognise as a member of society and therefore play him truthfully because he was so good. And it wasn't until I really kind of accepted the potential that someone like that could exist that I started kind of identifying with the character and falling in love with the character, you know. And that took about a week of rehearsals of me playing it quite badly, I felt. So yeah, that was one of the biggest challenges. Also, to play someone so good, what he is as an actor, that he's not going to be interesting enough, so you keep trying to make him more interesting, and that's when you kind of fuck up, you know, because human beings are interesting, and bad acting is people trying to make them more interesting, you know, and that's one example of bad acting anyway, and that was something that I had to watch I didn't fall into doing, you know.
Was that little touch of his dirty side any help to you? That at least he had some sort of vulgarity?
I don't think that's dirty, though. I think we've all got that.
Right.
I think the best person in the world has had fantasies of doing things like that, haven't they? So I don't see that as anything that taints him in any way. I think that makes him more human. That makes him more like us. But I know what you mean. I think the letter that he writes to her is shocking, but it's not bad. It's not untrue, and it comes from a place, a desire to communicate love, and that's a good thing, you know.
No, I agree. But yeah. You were describing him as this kind of saint, so I was like, yeah, at least he's got that.
Yeah, at least he has a dick. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And saints apparently don't have appendages, so, you know.
Speaking about having a dick, how is it like working with Kira?
But are you describing her as a dick?
No, I'm saying that.
Fine, you know, completely asexual. working with her. She's a great person to work with. She's a fantastic girl. There's nothing to do with my dick at all. I'm a completely happily married man. But she's a good girl. We connected quite early, and quite quickly I think we realised that we were there to back each other up, and we had someone willing to kind of, you know, fight for each other if we needed it. And also, we realised that, artistically speaking, we were very much on the same page from day one. And I mean, that happens. You feel quite safe. You feel like you've got a collaborator, you know, and someone that you can really bounce off of. So it was great working with Kira.
It was an iconic performance. Did you know it, reading the script? Because, like, I mean, it's one of those films where, like, you know, defines an actor, like an English patient or... Yeah, like,
oh, right. When I read the script, no, I didn't think about that kind of thing, about the kind of iconography of the character. But, but I definitely responded to him and realised that it should be a really good part, and it could be a really... good part if it's played right, and I felt like I might be able to do it well, you know. I felt like I had the things that you need to do it well, you know.
How do you choose your projects?
Man, people ask me that a lot. I would have chosen to do Atonement. I would have chosen to do Last King of Scotland if I had any choice, but after I made my choice, I had to go and beg them to give me the part and audition and screen test and things like that. So it's strange. You do choose your work, but
right.
It's only now that I'm getting to choose. Then, it was, you know.
Were you the first choice for the Atonement?
I don't know.
Oh,
I
don't know.
I know that they auditioned three other guys.
Okay.
So,
what
who
was,
knows?
What was your most difficult scene to shoot?
The scene in the tea room, where they see each other for the first time in 6 years. That was incredibly difficult. Also... the scene where we lambast young Bryony, well, middle Bryony, sorry, and we really give her a telling. That was quite difficult, actually, because you don't want to... We could have went further, I could have gone further, but you don't want to take up all the emotional space. You want to leave some of the emotional space for the audience to feel something. You know, if you're just standing on stage crying the whole time, you know,
yeah.
The audience just kind of go, fuck. And that was the same, actually, that was the same thing in the big Dunkirk tracking sequence, the big 5-minute shot. You know, it's very easy to get carried away with the emotion of the recreation, the evocative nature of something like that. It was very easy to get carried away with. And it would have been wrong for the actors to have got carried away with it, I think, because, you know, soldiers in that time, soldiers in the middle of that experience, some of them would be, but not all of them would be crying their eyes out and all that kind of stuff. And it was quite hard as an actor not to feel the loss, to feel the pain, to feel the waste of what happened on those beaches in 1940, 1941, and just incredible, really. So it was about holding back and being a bit like a soldier in one way and going, this is war, this is madness, but at the same time going, this is my job as well, and somehow having a little bit of distance from your character.
I read that you considered becoming a priest.
Yeah, I did.
What made you decide to go into acting instead?
I decided to give up the idea of being a priest before I decided I wanted to be an actor. I considered it for a couple of weeks, really. You know what I mean? I was fucking... I'm a young Catholic, do you know what I mean? You're gonna consider it. I wanted to think about becoming a missionary, because I just thought the idea of going to places like South America and Africa and, you know, China or, you know, the Indian subcontinent, that was all, like, hugely exciting. Then I realised that I would be going there to make people Catholics. I thought, it's a bit dodgy. That's a bit not right. So I gave up that idea.
Speaking of choosing your parts, what happens when a big Universal Studios comic book movie comes your way?
Sorry, my darling. You accept it.
Is that how it happened?
Again, I had to audition for that. I screen tested. They flew me over here and I had to do a couple of auditions. And then they didn't give me the part for quite a long time, for about 6 months. And then they came back and said, do you want to do it? And I was like, what's changed? And they were like, nothing, we always wanted you. And you're like, did you? So yeah.
The trailer looks really amazing. Did you think about those sort of John Woo gun poses while you were doing it?
No, I didn't actually, because I don't, to be honest with you, I don't really watch. I watch action films if they've got sci-fi in them, or they've got fantasy in them, or you know, something like that. But I don't really watch the John Woo type action film where it's just action. I like it when it's tinged with concept or tinged with philosophy or something like that, which this film is. And it's also tinged with a manic, mad, weird, brilliant, genius director called Timur Bekmambetov, who is a very strange guy who, you know, when he makes an odd decision, he doesn't make it strategically, do you know what I mean? He doesn't go, I'm going to make a really cool, odd, left-field, offbeat decision here, and that's going to mark me out as an ingenious director. He just makes decisions that happen to be really fucking strange, and people around him inform him that they're strange, and he goes, really? Well, that's interesting. And then carries on, you know? And it gives that style that he has a bit of truth, I think, a bit of something real.
Could you talk about the challenges of working with someone who's such in the limelight? I'm talking about, you know, Mr. Lee.
All right, okay. I think working with Keira and Angelina, actually, you know, two of the world's biggest stars, I got an eye-opener into that kind of, the kind of intrusion they have into their lives and the kind of scrutiny that they're under and how difficult it must be for them, definitely. I think that's undeniable. But other than that, you know, I didn't get an insight into their lives too much. I did get an insight into how much is made up and how much of it is false. You know, 99.999999% of it seems to be bullshit. And it's quite harming, I think, because it robs you of your identity, you know. The world thinks you are something and you're not it, and it's kind of odd.
Isn't it weird, though, or not weird, but isn't it a challenge for you, because you're starting to enter into this bigger Hollywood arena of big-budget films. You're almost, you know, it's going to possibly happen to you as well.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'm ever going to get to the point where people run across a freeway to take a picture of me. I really don't see it getting to that level of hysteria unless I, you know, have an affair with the Queen of Sweden or something like that. If I don't think they have a Queen of Sweden. I think they do. They do. Yeah, they do, don't they? Lovely girl, but, you know. So, who knows? You know, I try to just keep my life low-key, and I don't like going to parties unless, you know, they're thrown by a friend of mine, or they're to do with a project that I'm in, or it's because I've been nominated for an award or something like that. Then I'll go to the parties and kind of, you know, do all that. But I won't go to the latest Samsung free phone exhibition, do you know what I mean? Or, you know, you stay away from all that, and hopefully it gives you a chance to just stay away, to opt out of it a little bit.
What was it about Joe that was different from previous directors that you've worked with?
I think his vision is 360. Directors have to have multitasking abilities, and they have to be able to concentrate in different areas at one time. But and they all do, and some of them are visual and acting, or some of them are acting and script, and some of them are visual and script, and not all of them always kind of, you know, do that. But Joe's 360, he can do it all. He doesn't understand how to do everybody's job, but he understands everybody's job, you know. He tries to figure out what is it about your job that's important. And I mean in the crew as well, I don't just mean in the actors. And he applies his storytelling ability to everybody's department. And I think that's something that's really special about Joe.
Are you going to make it a point to choose another smaller film after Wanted?
I've never made strategic decisions, and I refuse to. I'll do what feels right, and whatever comes along, and I like the idea of it, I'll do it. You know, it's like Joe, after he did Pride and Prejudice, people said to him, you know, you should do a small, independent, modern, contemporary piece that isn't based on a book. And he didn't, and it's worked out fine for him, do you know what I mean? I think good work is good work.
How has the writer's strike affected you?
Not at all. Oh no, it did actually. It did actually. Hello.
Hello.
That's right. Let me finish this question. I'll be 2 seconds. It has affected me slightly. A project that I wanted to get going this year has to wait till the end of the year, I think, or maybe the beginning of next. The end of next year or the beginning of 2009.
Which project was that?
I'm not telling. Cheers, guys.
Could you sign this for Rebecca?
And were you contacted yet for the third Narnia? Are you going to do that, Mr. Thomas?
He's not in it.
Is he not?
Okay.
Again, I'm not the expert on Narnia.
That's all right.
Doing anything for the holidays?
Yes.
Anything for readers? I guess.
No.
Special traditions?
I don't think so. Nothing that interesting, actually.
Any toys or gifts you want? It's the roundups. It's that time of year.
What would I love? Is there anything I would particularly love? I'd love a pair of crampons. Crampons would be really good. I'm not even joking.
Thank you.
Ice boots. Right, I'll see you later.
Thank you.
Bye.